The House will now have under consideration Senate Joint Resolution 101. Gentleman from 27.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask unanimous consent that we dispense with reading, or would dispense with the third reading of Senate Joint Resolution 101.
Without objection, the gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, when it looked like we were on a roll and we might get to this, I had distributed to each of your desks a handout, and it's that is entitled SJR 101 Constitutional Amendment to Allow the University of Idaho to Charge Tuition. Mr. Speaker, if this measure is successful in gaining a two-thirds vote off the floor, this would put this question on the November 2010 ballot. This is an issue that that has been around the state of Idaho since statehood and even before that, when Idaho was a territory. In fact, if you go and many of the older, or the it's always been said that it has been against the Constitution to charge tuition at the University of Idaho. But if careful examination of the Constitution will show no such provision. And let me explain. In 1889, the Idaho territorial legislature passed Council Bill Number 20, which established the University of Idaho. And in Section 12 of that bill, and this is all you have this in front of you, and I would urge you all to keep this in your files for when this becomes an issue. Well, that may be a little optimistic, but I think it will pass. But keep this in your files for down the road. But the territorial legislature put this provision in law. No student who shall have been a resident of the territory for 1 year next preceding his admission shall be required to pay any fees for tuition to the university, except in a professional department for extra studies, etc. So when the Idaho state constitution was adopted a year later, these in Section 10 of the Constitution, we find this provision. The location of the University of Idaho, as established by existing laws, is hereby confirmed. All rights, immunities, franchises, and endowments heretofore granted unto thereto by the Territory of Idaho are hereby perpetuated unto said university. So the provision of the territorial legislature was then incorporated by reference into the state's constitution. Now, as you all remember, those of you that were here in the 2005 session, there was always some question on whether or not tuition could be charged at the other universities and at the state college, and we cleared that up emphatically with the passage of legislation that year, but stopped short of addressing this issue because of an attorney general's opinion that stated that at this time it's the most advisable interpretation of the law of the state that the University of Idaho is prohibited from charging tuition absent an amendment to the Idaho Constitution. Now, some of the attorneys among us thought that that provision probably wouldn't hold up in court, and because they like to have billable hours, thought that this ought to be tried in the courts. But that didn't come to fruition at that point. And it was never a big issue because there was plenty of general funds, and general funds are able to go straight and support the instructional services that happen at the University of Idaho. This is more of an issue this year because of the general fund holdbacks that happened as we finish out 2009 as we have base reductions as we go into the 2010 budget year. Now, I have in your handout have there in 33, 37, 17A are the definitions, and that's the provision that allows us to charge tuition at Boise State, Idaho State, and LCSC. But if you look there in 33, 37, 17, that's where the prohibition is, and it says the cost of instruction shall not include those costs associated with the construction, maintenance, and operation of buildings, facilities, student services, etc. So they get around this through the use of, well, the State Board of Education has a policy there, and they're able to charge at the University of Idaho a matriculation fee that is defined there in your handout, and you can read that as well. So this has become, I think it's timely that we address this issue, Mr. Speaker, that we put this on the ballot to let the citizens of the state of Idaho correct what was probably has been overlooked for some time. But again, it becomes more and more a pressing need because of the general fund holdbacks that will happen directly in the areas of instruction at the University of Idaho. And by having this provision in law, the university and the regents, the State Board of Education, have less flexibility as to how to manage these financially hard times. One of the questions that has come up is, well, that's going to cost us a lot of money to put this on the ballot. And you see there in your handout is a table. Now, since 1998, we've had 17 provisions put on the ballot, either voter initiatives or constitutional amendments, and we do that at an average cost of $35,000 per amendment or per initiative. And the way that that's handled each year, each cycle, we appropriate money to the Secretary of State, and if the money is used, then it is used, and the amount that is not used is reverted. And you can see that in 2008 we had appropriated $350,000. Should there be any ballot initiatives, there were not, and that $350,000 was reverted back to the general fund. So, Mr. Speaker, I at this point I could stand for questions. And if not, I just urge your yes vote on this important matter. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 18.
Mr. Speaker, to debate against the resolution.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Being that I'm the youngest person in this body, and being that I've probably the most recent one to have gone to college and incurred student loan debt, and it's much to my wife's chagrin because we pay on it every month and she doesn't particularly like it, but the fact of the matter is that Senate Joint Resolution 101 is asking us to continue to burden our college students with more and more debt in the future. The cost of college has increased exponentially over the last 20 years, and students are being asked to bear more and more of the burden of that cost of education. While I understand that passing Senate Joint Resolution 101 in itself does not increase the cost of going to college on students, what it does do is it opens yet another Pandora's box in the way that we fund higher education. It makes it much easier for us as state legislators to say, well, because higher education is not a dedicated fund agency, and because most of the funding that it gets isn't statutory, let's just pass the buck. Let's give that money to somebody else and make the students pay it instead. It seems to me with the college graduation rate, which puts Idaho in the bottom 10% in the United States, that the last thing that we want to be doing is discouraging those to attend our public institutions of higher education. People will say, well, we don't have the money for it. How are we going to pay for it? How do we make this work? Well, I'd submit to you that this has been a conscious decision that we've made over the last 10 to 15 years to continue to decrease our funding for higher ed. Last year we had a bill, and I'm not going to mention it specifically, so hopefully I don't have to suspend Rule 22 and let me know if I'm out of order, Mr. Speaker. But last year we had a bill that allowed us to increase the cap on how much tuition community colleges pay. And at that time, I got up and said the same thing I'm saying today, and that is, when are we going to stop? When are we going to start valuing higher ed and putting it at the front of the line instead of the back of the line? If we want this economic situation to improve, the state of Idaho has to become competitive in getting employers here. And the way that happens is we're competitive with the way that we keep employees here. And employees come and employees stay by having a good, solid higher education system in which to access. It seems to me that Senate Joint Resolution 101 asks us to mortgage our future with the intent of making a higher burden on our students. Something that I can't support, something that people in my generation have to experience every single day when we have to choose between paying our student loan payment or buying a house. That's the fact of the matter, folks. This is a selective tax on young families. It's a selective tax on future young families, and I hope you can vote no.
Is there further debate? Lady from six.
Mr. Speaker, thank you, and ladies and gentlemen of the House, much of what the gentleman just said is true, I think, in terms of our not wanting to burden students with loans, and I think that we should do everything we can to avoid that. But to get to the point of the matter that we're considering now, it's currently the case that the University of Idaho stands out alone in being restricted to charge fees rather than tuition, and that does place a burden upon the university and its officials in terms of how it is able to manage the resources that it has. And you see on the handout, and it has been mentioned during opening debate, that student fees cannot be used to help fund classroom instruction. So I guess if it were the case that we were generally arguing this with respect to all universities at this time, the debate might have been more relevant. But we're just looking for the opportunity to put the University of Idaho on equal footing with the other universities, and I hope that you will all support this resolution.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from 16.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the measure. A little background about me. I'm a graduate of the University of Idaho, and I've kept up with the university over the years. I also had the privilege to be an adjunct professor at Boise State University from 2000 to 2005 and to learn a great deal about the differences between the two institutions. I've had family who attended Idaho State University. And as I'm sure most of us in this body have, I'm well acquainted with quite a few people who have had involvement with Lewis and Clark State College. In 2005, a policy choice was made to allow Boise State, ISU, LCSE to charge tuition. I don't think that was the right policy choice then. I don't think this is the right policy choice now. I do appreciate the handout that the gentleman from 27 gave us all, and I certainly agree with all of the factual history that's stated in it, and I think it's a good summary of how we got to where we are today. My view is we should be moving in the other direction. We should be making college educations in Idaho more affordable for students, not more expensive for students. As the good gentleman from 18 pointed out, in terms of our college graduation rate, we are in the bottom 10% in the United States, and in terms of our rate at sending students from high school to college, we are at one of the lowest rates in the United States. I don't think that it's any accident that this has resulted in a lower than average per capita income in Idaho, household income, however you measure it. I think we're suffering economically from our failure to properly educate our young people. I'm very concerned because of what I saw when I was teaching at Boise State University. I would talk with students, and I would find out that they were graduating with tens of thousands of dollars of debt, $20,000 to $40,000 of debt for an undergraduate degree. Now, it's one thing to carry that debt from medical school or from law school or from one of the other professional programs, but to carry that debt at the undergraduate level and then have a desire to go into something like teaching that doesn't pay as well as other professions, that means that we're not getting, in all cases, the people that we might want to be going into these other professions, like teaching and other vocations. Think about being a 22-year-old or a 25-year-old today graduating from college, $20,000, $30,000 in debt, and then trying to borrow money to start a business. And Idaho is one of the leaders in the development of small businesses in the United States. Small business is the backbone of our economy in Idaho. But it takes money to get into business, and you've got to borrow that money. And you usually have to personally guarantee the business loan. Think about the burden that's put on a young family. Couples just gotten married. They're trying to start a family. They need a home for themselves and their children, and they have to borrow money for that. We're piling debt upon debt on our children. What I have seen in my own profession is that we are focusing more and more on money and less on our professional obligations. Because I think the first thing we do to kids when they go to college is start piling debt on them. One of the things that I was distressed to see at Boise State, although I think in many ways Boise State is moving ahead dramatically as our other universities and college are, one of the things I was a little distressed to see is that the number of students in my classes who were working their way through college seemed to decline over the 5 years that I taught. I don't submit that that's scientific evidence. It's only anecdotal evidence, but it concerns me. The other thing I'd like to say that when the founders of this state in 1889 said that there would be no tuition at the University of Idaho, I believe they said that because they only had one institution. I think if there had been institutions in other cities in this state, our founders would have said there will be no tuition at those other institutions as well. And it is my belief that in 1889, Idaho was a far poorer state than we are today. I know we hear a great deal in our society in Idaho today about we're not a wealthy state. Well, that's true. We do not measure up with some states who have higher per capita incomes or average household incomes. But we are not a poor state either. Certainly in any measurement of our society across the world, we are a very wealthy society, and we are perfectly able of educating our children the way they need to be educated. I noted earlier the reference to the founding of North Idaho College in 1933. That was the midst of a Great Depression, and the people in northern Idaho, they set out, despite all of the economic difficulties at that time, to do something that was very important, to establish a college. Why? Because they knew that economic development and social development and cultural development are dependent upon the establishment and the proper functioning of institutions of higher education. I do not, as someone who believes he knows a little bit about the University of Idaho, believe that we have done all that we can to utilize the current constitutional structure to which permits the charging of tuition at the graduate level and to out-of-state students. And I have been distressed for quite a number of years that the university does not charge a higher out-of-state tuition. I think that any comparison with what it costs to go to college in other Western states and comparing our out-of-state tuition would show that we can raise our out-of-state tuition and still remain competitive and still retain and still attract the out-of-state students, which I think we want to attract. So for all of those reasons, I am going to be voting against the measure today. Thank you.
So further debate. Gentleman from 34.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to debate in favor of the resolution and would like to draw upon my limited memory of a few years ago in 2005 when we made the changes that benefited the other state institutions. I carried that bill, and I remember did a lot of research into that and faced a lot of student groups who were in opposition for fear that their tuition costs would rise or escalate in proportion to what they had been. We assured them that would not be the case, and the State Board of Education made a commitment that they would watch carefully and make sure that tuition increases would be equivalent to what they had been in the past. And that's been the case. If you've checked, or if you'd care to check, those raises have been in line with other states and have been very reasonable. Even this year, Boise State's was at 5%, which is much lower than most universities. The benefit from this, as I recall, is that prior to making this change, there was a restriction on how universities could use fees. And fees were usually earmarked to things like student activity fees, maintenance fees, and that sort of thing. We allowed more flexibility when we made the change, and so universities could deliver to the students a better product for their money, if you will. An example, in many universities, when students enroll, if the enrollment is higher for a certain course than they anticipated, the course fills up, and that's it. Students are turned away. But if they have the flexibility of adding a new course through fees that are available, they can do that and accommodate student needs much better. I'm familiar with that. I worked in a university where sections could be added easily. But that was not the case with our state universities until we made this change. And so student throughput is enhanced. By that I mean we can get students through in 4 years now by providing for their needs with this flexibility than we were able to do before. I think it's just a much better educational mechanism, and I believe it's great that I felt badly that we had to exclude the University of Idaho from this because of constitutional restraints. And to be able to provide the opportunity now to take this to the people and have an amendment and make them on the same level playing field with the others is great, and I would think we ought to do that and would recommend that we pass this resolution. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further debate? Gentleman from Aid.
Mr. Speaker, to debate in favor of the bill. I hate to remind the body again that this really doesn't have anything to do with the University of Idaho winning Boise State basketball. But the gentleman from 34 lays it out very well. His debate was very, very well placed. The good gentleman from 27, the floor sponsor of the legislation, has laid it out. And from time to time, my daughter, who is a freshman at the University of Idaho, who served as a page in this body last year, she occasionally listens to our debate down here. And whether she pays a tuition or whether she pays a fee is the debate here. She still writes the same amount of the check to the University of Idaho. And quite frankly, there's been debate from up in the balcony dealing with students and their lack of the lack of funding for higher education. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the House, this debate today is nothing along those lines. This is whether we're going to amend the Constitution to allow the University of Idaho to be on the same level playing field as the other universities in the state of Idaho. And quite frankly, the students need to have ownership in their own education. If we continue to raise a society and give everything to them without any ownership in their education, if they haven't had a good summer job or had to work on weekends or maybe even work at night while they're attending classes, and they don't have a valued ownership in their education, then what does it mean to them? And I think those are things that we need to continue to have a part ownership. The students need to have an ownership in their education as well. Mr. Speaker, this legislation is good legislation. It puts a vote on the ballot in the 2012 election for a constitutional amendment, and we can vote on it up or down at that point in time. But ladies and gentlemen, this puts every one of the higher education universities in Idaho on the same level playing field. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate a yes vote.
Further debate? Hearing none.
Mr. Speaker.
Late in 35.
Just a question of the gentleman from 27, if I might.
Well, the gentleman yields.
The gentleman yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Gentleman 27. In my mind, I have heard, and I don't know whether I got this wrong, that the universities did not have to take part in the cut, the holdback. And it bothers me somewhat that if they don't have to take any of the holdback, but we're going to allow, and I know this doesn't particularly have to do with this debate, but I just want to know, they don't have to participate in this holdback because of the contracts. Is that correct?
Mr. Speaker, good lady. It's my understanding that the higher education budgets will reflect. Now, a holdback would, you know, speaks to the current year and the things that the governor has done that we have made permanent. And it's my understanding that those holdbacks were across the board for all state agencies, including the higher ed colleges and universities, and that those were made permanent by the actions of JFAC. Now, we did keep public schools whole as we went along, drawing from the Public Education Stabilization Fund. It's my understanding that these budgets that will be set for this upcoming fiscal year reflect a base cut, as I said in my opening debate. There won't be as much general fund money going out to the colleges and universities as there was the previous year.
Thank you.
Is there further debate?
Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from four.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess you could consider this debate in favor of SJ 101, but I do want to point out, according to our reliable source, Betsy's blog, that the State Board of Ed has approved tuition fees ranging from 5% to 7%. And you might be interested in what each university is charging. University of Idaho right now, without tuition, is $4,934. BSU, $4,864. ISU, $4,968. Lewis Clark State College, $4,596. Ironically, or by the way, North Idaho College, $1,133. At any rate, Mr. Speaker, I think this is legislation that resolves a longstanding issue, and I would support SJ 101. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Hearing none, would the good gentleman from 27 care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While I've enjoyed the debate here that I think has been somewhat beside the point, the raises that the State Board of Education have contemplated for the student fees, and remember, a fee by any other name still is a fee, with my apologies to the author, but the and Shakespeare. But the point is that whether you call it a matriculation fee or student fee or lab fee or tuition, those are all the same. And so this is kind of like truth in fees. This is timely legislation. I think that the debates that we may or may not have about the costs of higher education are for another day. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I would close debate and ask for your green light on this important measure.
Debate is closed. The question is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 101 pass? This is a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Idaho Constitution and requires 2/3 of the body or 47 votes to pass. The clerk will unlock the machine and the members will record their votes. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will lock the machine and record the roll. Roll call shows 64 aye, 3 nay, 3 absent and excused. More than 2/3 having voted in the affirmative, Senate Joint Resolution 101 has passed the House. Is there correction to title? Hearing none, the title is approved and the resolution will be returned to the Senate.